We've been recently looking, haven't we, at a psalm. Can anybody remember the number of the psalm? Psalm 23, yes. We've been looking at Psalm 23 in our Sunday services. And this beautiful psalm has been a source of encouragement to many people down through the ages. I'm sure many people here would say, yes, the Psalm 23 has been a source of encouragement to me. It was written by King David. And Psalm 23 is just a short psalm with six verses. It's a picture of the relationship that is possible between God and people. And even though it was written 3,000 years ago, Psalm 23 still speaks encouragement to us today. Amen. And if, you know, anytime, you know, now more than ever, I think we could do with a lot of encouragement. Amen. Absolutely, yeah. And so a few Sundays ago, we looked at the wonderful opening phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." By the way, we're having some shirts made up. I think I said this last week, with "The Lord is my shepherd" written on the front of the shirt. We were hoping it was going to be here for this weekend. Hopefully it'll be here for next weekend. But we looked at that phrase a couple of times a few weeks ago. Then 2 weeks ago, Far focused on the words, "I shall not want." She brought a mighty message. Then last Sunday, Pastor Bethwyn shared on those wonderful words of healing, "He restoreth my soul." That was a great message. And thank you, Pastor Bethwyn, for that. And if you, by the way, if you miss out on the messages, all our services, they're online, but it also means that they're being recorded. So you find all of our services on Facebook, YouTube, and on the church website. And you can revisit any of those messages if you want to. But today we're going to dig deep into Psalm 23 again, and we're going to do it, keep with it, just for a few weeks. What do you think, everybody? So what we're going to do? So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to read together the words of Psalm 23 in the King James Version, which we love. Amen. Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You may be seated. And today's message is based on Psalm 23, verse 3. And in the King James Version, Psalm 23, verse 3 declares, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." In the modern English, thank the Lord for modern English. Who's a fan of modern English? Yeah, me too. The statement says this, "He," and then I've put in brackets, "God, Jesus." I want to pause there just for a moment. See, I've got God / Jesus. It could also be / Holy Spirit. Or it could also be / Lord. And when you come to church, most of us are familiar with that. But if you're not familiar with church and if you're not familiar online, sometimes we swap the words around, the names of God around, but we're all speaking about Almighty God. Jesus is Almighty God. So if you're thinking, I thought he said that was Jesus. Now he's saying the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God. So I don't want you to be confused about that. But in modern English, that verse says, "He," that's Almighty God, "guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." In the ancient world, everybody, the shepherd always walked in front, just like our picture on the stage here. The shepherd always walked in front of his sheep, guiding his flock to water, guiding his flock then onto green pastures, and then finally he would guide his flock back home again. Interestingly, because he was guiding them, that means that the sheep didn't need to know where the water was. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures was. In fact, the sheep didn't need to know how to get back home again. All the sheep needed to know was where the good shepherd was so that they could follow him. And that's the same for us today. Amen. Interestingly, Jesus called himself the good shepherd. And the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples was, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Follow me. That's the first thing he said. And those disciples were the world's first Christians. And just as sheep follow shepherds, so Christians are called to follow Jesus. Therefore, if you don't follow Jesus, you might have respect for Jesus. You might like Jesus. You might think he's a man who's lived a good life. That's all great. But if you don't follow Jesus, then you're not a Christian. And you're not part of his flock. Because Christians follow the good shepherd. Christians follow Jesus. That's just what we do. He, Jesus, guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. This statement is a picture of a relational posture that Jesus Christ has with you and with me today. Jesus is in front of us. That's his posture. Leading the way for the flock. That's the relationship. There's a couple of other relational postures that we also have with Jesus Christ. For example, in the book of Luke, Jesus said this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? He will say, well, let's forget about that lost sheep. He'll say, I've still got 99. No. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for that one? Pastor Bethwyn, the one. Jesus looks for the one that is lost. He'll search until he finds it. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I found the lost sheep. You see, sometimes a sheep foolishly takes their eyes off the shepherd and they get lost, everybody. They go down the wrong path. Maybe you have done that before. The lost sheep may even suffer injury while on the wrong path. And so the shepherd has to go searching for the lost sheep. And when he finds the lost sheep, he picks it up. He carries the lost sheep home to the flock. In this instance, the good shepherd does not lead the lost sheep home. He carries the lost sheep home. This is another picture of another relational posture that Jesus has with us. If you are lost, if you get hurt, and who knows that life is full of hurt. If you get lost, if you get hurt, if you're bruised, if you're broken, then Jesus, the good shepherd, will search for you because he loves you. And when he finds you, he will carry you back home again. Because that's what Jesus, the good shepherd, does. Carrying the sheep is the posture. Rescuing and healing is the relationship. Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, leads us, but sometimes he has to carry us as well. Maybe you are a lost sheep today. You're in church, but you could still be far from God. Maybe you've wandered down the wrong path today. If you're a lost sheep, submit your heart to Jesus and let him carry you back home with him again. Amen. Be restored. If you're backslid in today, that means you're a lost sheep. Let Jesus carry you home again. Amen. Amen. But wait, there's more. Hallelujah. There's another posture of a relationship that God is with us that is actually very, very powerful. We actually looked at this at our Connect group this week. The Bible says this, Christ lives in you. Christ, the good shepherd, lives in you. Absolutely. The posture in this instance is literally that Christ lives in you, but the relationship is sonship. Jesus, the shepherd, became a lamb and died in our place for the crimes against heaven that we've committed. And now because we trust in Jesus, we are in God's family. And we're joint heirs with Jesus, and we've received sonship whether we are female or male. We're all sons of the living God. Amen. Jesus is in our hearts, and there is nothing to separate us from him at all. So sometimes Jesus guides us, or most times Jesus is guiding us. Sometimes he carries us, and Jesus lives within our hearts. Amen. These are postures of relationship that we have with Jesus. But there is one posture of a relationship that Jesus will never, never, never impose upon you. The good shepherd will never position himself behind his sheep and push them to where he wants them to go. Jesus will never do that. Jesus does not push his flock from behind. We are not driven or coerced by the Holy Spirit. Rather, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Very important. Demonic spirits abuse and coerce and they push. But God, the Holy Spirit, always gently leads his sheep. Amen. That's one way you can discern whether an evil spirit is in operation or not. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Amen. Many years ago, I mean really many years ago, I stayed on a farm down at Mount Barker. Mount Barker's a nice place. And out in the paddocks, I noticed that there were narrow tracks crisscrossing the various paddocks. And, you know, I tried to figure out what was making these tracks, these little trails. What was responsible for creating the narrow tracks across these paddocks, and the tracks didn't kind of make sense. Now, whether this is true or not, and that's okay because this is just my experience. I didn't Google to see if this was true. So whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I was told that those narrow tracks were caused by the sheep that lived on the farm. And apparently those sheep, so I was told, would repeatedly follow one another along those same pathways to get where they wanted to go, which was who knows where they wanted to go. And so when I read this scripture from Psalm 23, it reminded me of those tracks that I saw those decades ago in the paddocks at Mount Barker. And when you think about it, those narrow tracks in those paddocks, they're a picture of life today. The journey of life, your journey of life is full of trails, full of tracks, it's full of pathways crisscrossing the paddocks of our daily living. Is that right? Absolutely. And if you get on the wrong pathway, you could end up in serious trouble. A wrong pathway could take you to a place where there's danger and you could be lost. For example, a wrong relationship. A wrong business deal. A wrong commitment. A wrong click on the computer. A wrong attitude. Such pathways can end up getting you into all sorts of trouble and all sorts of grief. In fact, the Bible says this. It says in Proverbs 4 verse 12, there is a pathway before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. All pathways seem right at the start, don't they? But it ends in death. And you know, lots of people, they just follow the crowd. Well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be the right pathway. And they just follow the crowd. A lot of people do that. Just doing what others are doing. Buying what others are buying. Behaving like others are behaving. But the whole crowd is on the same bad pathway that leads to loss and even destruction of some kind. Just because there's a whole bunch of people on a particular pathway does not mean it's the right pathway. Remember Noah. All the people he lived with were on this pathway. Noah and his family, a minority, were over here and they were on the right pathway. The crowd was over here. Noah's over here. They were on the wrong pathway and look what happened to them. The crowd is never a guarantee of a pathway being the right pathway. Amen. But God has called you to something better than the bad pathway, real life church, my dear brother and sister. God has called you to a richly blessed and fulfilled life. Could somebody say amen to that? I really believe that with every fiber of my being. And that richly blessed and fulfilled life is actually within your reach today. And yet, surprisingly for many people, and contrary to what the world has to say, this blessed and fulfilled life is not dependent upon your potential. I've met so many people who are full of potential and done nothing. I'm over people having lots of potential. Who cares? Do something. Amen. It's not dependent upon your education. Who failed at school and did really bad at school? There's hope for you. Don't worry about it. It's not dependent upon your attractiveness or your abilities. A blessed and fulfilled life comes from getting off the bad pathway and moving over to the good pathways of life. That's it. That's it. Yet the huge challenge that we all face, you and me, is that there are so many different kinds of bad pathways in life that constantly beckon for our attention. Oi, come with me. This is the right way. No, this is the right way. No, over here. And whoa, which is the right pathway? And these pathways call out to you. And they call out to me, asking us to come and join the crowd. You'll be right, mate. Amen. Praise God. But thank God that Psalm 23 and verse 3 makes it clear that the Lord is able to guide you onto the right pathways of life. Because of Jesus Christ, you can live a richly blessed life, even if you only have a tiny bit of potential. Hallelujah. Even if you just got a tiny bit of an education or no education at all, who cares? Even if you've just got a tiny amount of ability, you can still live a purposeful life by following the good shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, he will guide you onto the good pathways of life that will always lead to rich blessing. Amen. The cycle of destruction in your life and maybe in your entire family can be broken in Jesus' name. Through the leading of the good shepherd on the right path, you can actually overcome. You can make a comeback. Your shattered dreams can be replaced with new dreams. You can flourish and you can thrive. Amen, 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 amen. Indeed, the good shepherd always has a good plan and purpose for your life. Always has, always. You know, if you say, oh God, what's your plan for my life? I'll tell you right now, it's a good plan in Jesus' name. So we come to the crux of the message, and this is it. It's a question. It's a really important question. How will the Lord guide me on the right paths of life? How do I get on the right path? Does he send me an email? Does he send me a text? How does the Lord guide me onto the right paths of life? How does that work? So what I'd like to do is present to you three principles. You've got to listen really carefully, that God always works through in order to guide you on the right paths of life. And I'm going to do it really quick. Is everybody ready? Yeah. They're Bible-based. It's got to always be based on God's Word. But these Bible-based principles, and Rochelle and I were talking about them last night, is what Rochelle and I have built our marriage upon, these three principles. Our lives are built upon these three principles over 39 years of marriage. And they work. They work. The first principle is this. It's the providence of God. The providence of God. We don't use that old-fashioned word. I just am very strong on the providence of God. Providence means just the protective care of God. Many years ago, I remember riding a bicycle as a kid. And I went up a street and I was flying along and I went straight in front of a car. And the car didn't hit me. It should have hit me. And I remember the lady was driving the car, was upset, you know how it works, and I was, I should have been hit. I wasn't hit. Why wasn't I hit? Because I didn't even pray about it. It's the providence of God. Some of you are only alive today because of the providence of God. So this is not a light thing. This is important. The first principle is the providence of God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust, and this is King James Version because it brings it out better. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And here's a really important part. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will happen? He shall direct thy paths. This verse is heaven's great advice for living. Trust in the Lord your God. Trust in the Lord your shepherd and give him, you know where it says, acknowledge your ways to him? Give him authority over all the various aspects of your life. A lot of Christians don't do that, you know? And it's really important. In all your ways, acknowledge him. From your relationships through to your finances. Have you given your money to the Lord? Your relationships? From your leisure time through to your work time. From your housekeeping through to your TV watching. Bring your whole life to Jesus and surrender it to him. Let Jesus be your boss of your life. And invite him into every room in your heart. Open all the doors of your heart. Say, Lord, it's all yours. I acknowledge you in all of my ways. When you do that, the providence of God kicks in. God will constantly protect you and direct your paths even when you're not aware of it. One thing, Rochelle and I didn't want to talk too much about you and me. Don't want to reveal too much, but we very rarely struggle with decision making. It's just one of those things. Money and decision making, we've got faith for. And it's not a big deal. I know a lot of you struggle over, oh, is this right or wrong? We just believe that as we submit our lives to the Lord, we will make a decision and just believe it's the right decision because we're walking under the providence of God. We just believe in the providence of God. Anybody understand what I just said? So I just want to a lot of people are getting stressed out over you to say, no, acknowledge God in all of your ways and trust him for the rest in Jesus' name. Second principle that God works through to guide you on the right pathway is the principle of the power of obedience. Oh, man, I tell you, everybody, listen, this is such an important principle. It is so powerful. Let me read this scripture to you from the book of Deuteronomy. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. And what about this next one? Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your children. Now there's a word. There's a word for somebody. Is that on the screen? It is, isn't it? I'm reading from my page. Your children and your crop will be blessed. Now there's something to hang your faith on right there. This is a word of the Lord. May this be rhema to you today. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Because you're obeying the Lord, you see. You're obeying the Lord. The Lord will conquer your enemies. It doesn't say you won't have any, but he says the Lord will conquer your enemies. And when they attack you, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. See, you don't need to win lotto. Just obey the Lord. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fulfill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will, he will bless you in the land that he has given to you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Whatever God commands you to do, just do it. Amen. Just do it. Isn't that what Mary said to the servants? You know, at that wedding in Cana when they had no wine, they ran out of wine, and she said to the servants, whatever Jesus says, just do it. Amen. That's the best bit of advice you've had all week long. Just do it, amen. Obedience to God opens up the windows of heaven and puts you on the right path. Third principle, I'm nearly done. Finally, the third principle that God works through to guide you on the right path is the principle of the power of a transformed mind. The Bible says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Wow. Wow. Don't copy. Don't be conformed to the pattern of behavior of this world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then what's going to happen? Then you will learn to know God's pathways for you. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Wow. Wow. So everybody, say goodbye to stinking thinking.
Amen.
Get over it. Get rid of it. Pull yourself up when you're indulging in it. Say goodbye to stinking thinking. Toss aside the behavior of the world. That crowd, I don't want to hang out with them anymore. Perhaps some of us literally need to change our friends. Yeah, who are you hanging out with? Who's influencing you? You know, toss aside the behavior of the world because you were born for better things than that. And so embrace a new way of viewing life. Then you will learn God's will for you. Amen?
Amen.
The providence of God, obedience to God, and transforming your mind are the ways that the Good Shepherd is able to lead you and lead me on the right pathway. Amen.
Amen.
Nearly finished. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But there's this common thread. This got to tie this together. There's this common thread that runs through the three principles, joins them together. I'll say it again. There's a common thread that links these three principles together that I've just shared today. And this is a common thread. These three principles are only energized and activated by the Holy Scriptures, which is the Bible. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. And those three principles, they're energized and only activated through the Holy Scriptures. For instance, faith to embrace the power of God's providence only comes through the mighty stories found in the Bible. The power of obedience only kicks in when we know what the commands of the Lord are, and we find God's instructions for life in the Bible and especially in the New Testament for us as Christians. And the power of a transformed mind is only possible because the Bible, the Word of God, is able to flush away the stinking thinking that we pick up from the fallen world and replace it with the creative thoughts of Almighty God.
Amen.
He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. I'm just experiencing something really funny just right now. I'm just feeling faith rise in the room right now. The Good Shepherd guides me when I acknowledge His authority over every area of my life. The Good Shepherd guides me when I obey His instructions. The Good Shepherd guides me when I fill my mind with the words of the Holy Scriptures. Sheep follow the Shepherd. We follow our Shepherd by following and drinking in the Holy Scriptures of the Bible. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? What I'm sensing in the Holy Spirit is breakthrough.
Yes.
I'm sensing, I'm just picking it up, and it's a little unclear, but I'm sensing that there's been people who've been walking with the Lord, and you've been, it's been pretty mediocre for you. You haven't grown for a long time. But something is sparking in your heart, and the Lord's saying to you, come up higher. And you're being encouraged today through this message. Your faith is being lifted. And I want to encourage you to lean into God today in Jesus' name. Thank God for yesterday's manna. It was good for yesterday, but this fresh manna for today. Actually, I see something else. Thank God for the manna that was in the wilderness. But it's time now to go into the promised land. Stop living on the manna. There's a harvest in the promised land. A lot of your Christian living and experience has just been here. And the Lord's calling you higher with Him. Let's read Psalm 23 together. Can we do it again? Okay, read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.